Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out and spending your Sunday morning with us. My name is Kaylee, and I am the pastor of student ministries here. And every once in a while, I get to come and spend my Sunday morning up here with you guys instead of with the middle schoolers. So thanks for coming out and being with me today. Last week, like I said, I am the pastor of student ministries. So last week, I got to go to a student leadership conference that we had over in Duluth. And I want to tell you guys about a game that we played there. We don't have the time or the space to play it here, but you guys can tuck it in your back pocket. Maybe you'll play some other time with a big group of friends. But at this conference, we had about 150 teenagers and adult leaders in this space. So kind of hard to like sit down and play some cards with all these people, right? And so this game we played was called the Penguin Mob, which is kind of silly, but you know, you gotta throw in like the funny jokes for students and stuff. So the way that this game worked is our leader of the conference would stand on stage, and all of us in the attendance would be in this big open space, and he would just shout out a topic, something like color or season or favorite food. And at that point, you waddle around like a penguin and just start yelling your favorite thing. So he would say your favorite color, and everyone like waddles around just like yelling out different colors. And it's just mass chaos and it's loud. But what the point of the game is that as you're shouting out your favorite thing, you find other people that also are shouting out the same thing. So you're wandering around yelling blue, 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 and you find somebody else that says blue, and you like celebrate and you link arms, and then you keep walking with them. And this keeps going and going and going until you have all these mobs of people around, like yelling different things. And at that point, when everyone's kind of grouped up and found their home, then they stop the game and the biggest mob wins, basically. So there are a few things that I learned through playing this game. A couple of them are that apparently fall is like the most popular season. I would probably differ with that. I'm like a huge summer fan. But fall is apparently the most popular season for teenagers. Also, teenagers really like mint chocolate chip ice cream. So if you're having a party or something, make sure you get some mint chocolate chip. And blue is teenagers' favorite color. So few take-home things for you guys. I also had another realization as we were playing this game. And that is that it feels really good to link arms with people that have a favorite of yours or share some kind of opinion or value as you. So as you're going around, you find somebody that also likes mint chocolate chip, and you're like, no way, be my buddy. And you get to link arms, right? And you're like part of a home. You're part of a team. So pretty non-threatening things, right? Favorite color, favorite ice cream, favorite season. Often we bond with people about things like this, right? We talk about music, or we talk about sports, or maybe we even go to concerts or events with people together to bond over things that we enjoy or value. There's a lot of ways that we share our opinions on things like this, right? We're like hanging out in the hallway and we're talking about what we did for the 4th of July, or maybe we get on social media and we type out some things about our values or opinions. Other people have like a journaling habit of like writing down their deepest thoughts and processing that way. Or for me personally, my favorite thing is to like have really good conversations about shared values and things around the campfire. When I was in high school, my favorite thing was to have all my friends over in the summer. I'm a quality time person. And so if you can get a bunch of high schoolers like around the same circle, and like the chaos and busyness of life settles, and you can have some really good chats with your friends, that was always like gold to me. And so now working here, part of this community, when I get to do things like small group or have people in my home and talk about our favorite things, what we love, our values, that's like so life-giving to me. And that's why I love this place and love small groups. So when I started working here, the tagline, which many of you guys I'm sure have heard, is that we want to have life-giving conversations around every table in Carleton County. And in the last 3 or so years, that has even gotten to expand from Carleton County to beyond. But when I was getting interviewed and talking through the different things, the vision and the things of Cloquet Vineyard, that was something I heard, and I was like, okay, cool, sure, I can get behind that. Nothing that like gave me like this passion or excitement. And it wasn't until a few months later after being hired that I was at Gordy's just up the road here. And I was meeting with some students and some people that I hadn't really had a ton of relationship with, but kind of knew enough. And we had just this amazing conversation at Gordy's over ice cream. And that's when that thing kind of clicked in me of like, this vision of having life-giving conversations around every table turned from something that like sounded pretty cool that I could just get behind to something that I really saw like God show up in and experience heaven and thought like, wow, this is really something that I can like get behind. This is something I really to fight for and to be a part of. So also when I started working here, I was handed all of these slips of paper, and on those slips of paper had different values. Anything from politics to family to work and production or fun, all of these different things that people might value or find important in their life. I was handed probably like 40 or 50 slips of these things, and my job was to sort them into three different piles. So one of them was my, I really care about this pile. One of them was my, this is an okay thing pile. And then one of them was my, not my thing pile. And other people can worry about those kind of values. And so I'm sitting down with all of these sheets of paper in my first week of working here. And out of those three piles, then I had to pick my top five values. And I was freaking out. I was like, what if I pick the wrong things? What if they think that they hired the wrong person? What if they don't like my values? What do I even care about? I've just been living my life and going through the motions and putting obviously my energy and my heart into things that I care about, but having to like verbalize or separate words about this is something I care about, this is something I don't care about, was a super stressful challenge for me. And this was also at a time that I was transitioning in my life, right, from being a college student and a kid into a time of, like, now I'm moving into a new season of my life. And so it was really hard, and I went and I met with Chris and Nikki, and I went through my values, and it was fine. They were affirming and everything. But then a year later, we were on a staff retreat, and we all sat down, and we had the same exercise. We were given our slips of paper again, and again, we sorted them into our different piles and then came up with our top 5 to 10. And in that circle, we got to share about each of our values and kind of explain why I chose this value and how I see that playing out in my life, how I feel like God has put that into my heart, into my passions, and how he's seen that, or how he's made that value flourish and grow through my story. And instead of being in this place of, I am so insecure, what are they going to think about my values? Are these things I can actually really be proud of? I got to sit in the circle of people that I love, who have different values than me on some things, but then other things we would share. And I got to feel so like affirmed and at home with these people, saying, this is how God has created me. These are the things that he's given me to care about, and these things that he's given me to chase and bring into the lives of the people around me. So it was a super amazing experience. And I think that that kind of goes back to what I was talking about with that game, right? It feels really good to say, hey, me too, and link arms with people and share an interest, share a love, share a value. I think that that is God's created order, his created intent for our churches or different organizations or families or relationships, that if we're able to share our values, share the things that we love, and then that puts us on mission for something that we're going to chase. So while our staff might have different values, we can still say, these are the things that we're going to stand on, and these are the things we're going to cheer each other on in and chase the dream and the goal that God has given us through that. So today, we are kicking off a series on our Cloquet Vineyard values, things that God put on Chris and Nikki's heart 3-4 years ago when they started the process of church planting. And we're going to be taking a week in the next 5 weeks to talk about each of our values. So if you guys don't know, our values are health, beauty, purpose, fun, and love. And those are all things that the last 3 years we've been leaning into and trying to embody. One thing that I think is pretty fun about the series is that Nikki is actually only preaching 1 week of the 5. And I think that's a cool testament to the way that our whole community and our church family here has really come to embody these different things. I think that if you've been around for a while, each of you could probably stand up here and share about these values and how you've seen them impact your life or this community or how you've seen God move in them. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to move into our first value and check out the Bible a little bit too. So if you guys would pray with me, I would love that. So God, I thank you so much for this space that you have created for us, where we can show up as a community and friends and a family, where we can bear our hearts and share our values and ultimately just chase you and your kingdom through it. So would you be with us today? Would you help us process our values and highlight the different passions and gifts that you've given each and every one of us? Would you help us to hold to those and chase those with courage? And would we see more of you in it, God? Amen. All right, so the value that we are starting off with today is fun. And I would like to say that I was nominated to be the fun one that gets to talk about fun today. But I can't take that title too far because I actually chose this myself. But a couple years ago when I first started working here, if anybody here knows Nita, you know that she's amazing and that she loves to pray for people and encourage people. And so when I first started working here, she was praying over me and the journey ahead. And one thing that she told me is, I feel like Jesus is telling you to keep your fun. That was her phrase, keep your fun. And at the time I was like, okay, it's kind of a weird value to have. And actually at the time, we were standing at the hub. We have these amazing portraits of our values hanging over our little snack bar. And we were standing right there. Anita is praying this over me, keep your fun, keep your fun. And fun is hanging behind me on the wall. And again, I was like, okay, we'll see what happens with that. And then life got kind of hard. I was walking into an adult season of my life. I was starting a new job, jumping into a new family. And all of these different stressors or pressures that I was carrying helped me realize the value of fun. Because when you're a kid, right, you don't have to teach kids to have fun. They find a toy, or they find a spoon, or they find something, and they just have fun. They play, right? They're free, they're in the moment, and they just enjoy life. And then sometimes we grow up, or we move on into something that's different than childhood, and we think, hey, when's the last time I just had fun? How am I doing with being present? How am I doing with feeling free? And so this thing that Nita spoke over me, I had to chase and I had to hold on to as I walked into this new season of life and as I experienced some hard things. And that's where God really breathed this value into my life of, oh, fun actually matters. Laughter is like a gift from God and it's important and something that we have to kind of fight for sometimes. So while it's a weird value, you might be thinking, okay, so you might care about fun. Why should our church care about fun? Where are all the verses in the Bible that say, have fun, or laugh until your stomach hurts, or all of these different things? It's hard to pull out just a verse like that that says something about fun. But I think it's still in there. So I did some looking this week, and if anybody here has read the book of Ecclesiastes, that's where we're finding our fun today. What I love about the Bible is that God speaks differently to each of us personally as we read and as we study and as we pray. And Ecclesiastes, to me, anybody here remember Winnie the Pooh? Yeah? Okay. To me, Ecclesiastes is like the Eeyore of the Bible. Like, it's gloomy, and it's sad, and it's heavy, and it's like mopey. There's all these themes in there about how life is fleeting, and how we have no control over our lives or our circumstances, and about how like the future is a mystery and all of these things. And that kind of stuff like freaks me out. I'm like, I like to have a plan, I like to know what's coming, I like to avoid pain and all the hard stuff. And so all of these themes like give me some unrest and make me feel heavy and kind of gloomy like Eeyore. But the underlying theme that we find in Ecclesiastes is that God is good and that God is in control and that he is the one that breathes purpose into our life. So even if I don't know what's coming, even if life is fleeting, I can still rest in the fact that God is good and he's in control and he's leading us all somewhere good. So that's why we're turning to Ecclesiastes to look for fun, because even in the darkness or the heaviness of this book, I think that God has sprinkled in different verses that remind us to enjoy our life and remind us to find our purpose and remind us to have some fun in it. So it's kind of an analogy to our life, right? Our life gets heavy, our life can be confusing, our life can be hard, but God sprinkles things in our life to remind us, hey, remember to seek the joy. Remember to lean into me for your purpose. So we're going to Ecclesiastes today. If you guys have a Bible, you can open up to that book. Otherwise, we'll have some verses on the screen here, or you can pull out your phone. That's okay too. You guys have it a little bit easier than our students, because when I teach with our students, what we do is we open our Bibles, and I usually make them talk first. I say, hey, what's God speaking to you in this passage? What are you guys reading from this? What theme might we be leaning into today? So while I won't make us all share in a circle about what we're seeing, what we're going to do is we're going to read a verse. We're going to read a passage from Ecclesiastes, and I just want you to pause, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to ask yourself, what is God speaking to me through this passage? Now, the primary theme, I will tell you ahead of time, so you don't have to work too hard. The primary theme through all of these verses is something about eating and drinking and being merry. So there are two things that I want to lead us out of from these passages before we dive into what we actually might be hearing from it. The two things are, the first one is I don't think that by God telling us to eat and drink and be merry, I don't think that he's telling us to overindulge, right? I think that addiction and I think that overindulging and gluttony are all things that are hurtful to the heart of God and ultimately hurtful to our flourishing and our experience of actually chasing our purpose, chasing our goals, chasing the things God has laid out for us. So I don't think that that's the theme that God has in these passages. I also, when I read these things, I kind of imagine somebody like throwing up their hands and saying like, it's just not worth it. Why even keep going? I should just give up and I should just eat and drink and check out of everything else. I don't also think that that's what God is having us to say or having us do with these passages. But I do think that sometimes that is our attitude towards fun. That we think by creating space in our life to have fun or by laying down our jobs or our work or our to-do list and going out and like having fun with our kids or going out and meeting a friend we haven't seen in a long time, sometimes we have that pressure or shame of creating space for that kind of stuff. And in our mind, we think we're just throwing up our hands and not caring about anything else. I think that God might challenge us in that and say that there's actually a real deep value in having fun. There's a deep value in laying down your work sometimes and just enjoying him instead. So those are two places that might come up in this. That's okay, sit with that. But then also ask God, what else might be the message that you're speaking to me here? So first one of three. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. It reads, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? So again, my question to you is, what might God be speaking about fun here? What stands out to me is the last part of this passage. It says, without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? I think that knowing God and walking in the ways that he's created us, walking in our values and our passions and our dreams, is how we find our ultimate enjoyment. That he is the one that breathes purpose to us, and that through that, that is where we find our satisfaction. So yes, we eat and we drink and we be merry and we find satisfaction in our work, but ultimately we want to see God through those things. And that as we do that, we reconnect with God and his beauty, and we reconnect and lean into God and the love that he has for us. So when I think about this in my real life, I think about yesterday when I was at a pool party with a bunch of awesome people, and somebody I was sitting by just turned over and like simply looked at me and said, does it get any better than this? It was like 80 degrees. We spent all morning sweating and playing tennis, and then we ran back to the house and jumped in the pool, and we're just having the blast of a summer day. And they just simply, does it get better than this? And I thought, not really. And I think in that, right, I can say, thank you so much, God, for the sun that you've given me, for these people that you've given me, and for the space that you've created for me to have fun and worship you through this. That ultimately is saying, God has given me all of these things, and through this fun, through these things, I'm finding enjoyment and getting led in worship to him through these simple ways of having fun and enjoying myself. So without him, who can eat or find enjoyment or fulfillment? God is the one that breathes that stuff into us. Number two, Ecclesiastes 3, 22. So we're getting a little bit further in our gloomy book. And again, God reminds us. Ecclesiastes 3, 22 says, so I saw that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? So again, what might God be telling you about fun in this passage? The part that stands out to me is that we rejoice in our work. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Like I mentioned earlier, the future, when it seems ambiguous or scary or unknown to me, can like freak me out. Is there anybody else in the room that's with me in that? That you like think about what's to come, or you look at the state of our economy, or watch the news at night, or even think about the future of your job or your family, your health, and you just feel this like weight. Or you feel this slow anxiety building in you when you think about the future. I think what God is speaking to us through this passage is that it's important to plant our feet and be present in the moment and enjoy whatever God has given us right now. Whether that be our work or the work of growing our family, or the work of loving the people in our community, whatever God has led you to right now, we don't know what's coming next, like it says in the second part of this verse. And so God is saying, be present right now, enjoy what I've given you right here and right now. And that through that, when we experience the good stuff, when we experience joy, God fills up our cup, and he enables us to continue to walk out the purpose that he has for us. Because when we just try to put our heads down and keep running forward without pausing to enjoy where we're at or reflecting on the ways that God's moving, then we just run out and we become a less Jesus-looking person. So when I think about this, I think about going for a hike. That is like my ultimate fill my cup, find some joy, find some enlightenment. Because what I'm doing when I'm hiking is I'm moving, right? There's some kind of like forward motion with my physical body, but I'm also so present to what's around me. I'm looking at the trees, I'm hearing the birds, I'm feeling the sun, or I'm trudging through the snow. And as I'm doing that, I'm usually like on a loop somewhere, right? So ultimately, I'm not making any forward progress in my life. There's no goal at the end of it. But I can show up and I can be present in those couple hours, and I can walk and I can enjoy and I can move and I can see God in the present moment and the things that he's created around me. So be joyful, for this will go with you in your toil through the days of your life. Oh, did I skip? Yeah, I think I skipped one. Okay, that's the next one. Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, and I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. I think I just mixed those two up. What one did we read before that? Do you guys remember? I do this with my students too. Okay, so we already talked about finding enjoyment, right? Soaking in God's love and beauty. And then we went to Ecclesiastes 3:22, which says that we can't see our future, right? So be present where we're at. And that helps us. Oh, right. Okay. So this is what I'm going to say about that too. As I'm hiking, right, there is this thing in my body that I'm using for physical health, right? So I'm physically moving my body and I'm pursuing something that's good. That's sorting out maybe this tension or this anxiety of me feeling like I have to get somewhere, feeling like I have to have all the plans or protect my future. I can physically release that, right? There's something that happens when we move our bodies. So I'm pursuing physical health in that. And then also I'm pursuing spiritual health, right? I'm experiencing God. I'm present with him. I'm resting in his presence. And then there's also an emotional health that comes through hiking, right? Like you said, with our bodies, we expel this nervous energy or these hard things. So that's the importance of being present and of pursuing our health in that. Okay, so now we're to the joy. So Ecclesiastes 8:15, and I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given under the sun. So in this, as we mentioned, there might be a word that pops out at you. For me, it's this word joyful. So again, in this book, we've walked through all of the hard things, talking about how life is fleeting, life is really hard, life can be heavy. But ultimately, God has sprinkled in these verses to bring us back to joy, to bring us back to his presence. So one thing that I find super joyful is to just be with people. Like hiking can fill my cup in a way with God and with being present and with quiet and restfulness. But if I really want to laugh and have a good time, if I really want to experience joy in my life, that's usually with people, and it's usually with a lot of people, and it's usually either eating or playing games. Those are like the best things in the world for me. So that's why being a youth pastor is awesome, because I get to spend a lot of time eating and playing games with students. But if I want to fill my cup in a way that breathes joy into my life and helps me to continue walking out my purpose, it's usually with people. And so I think the invitation here that God highlighted is that when we're joyful, when we're having fun, when we're doing fun on purpose, it usually involves people around us. It usually involves inviting people in and saying, hey, be present in my life right now. Like, this thing is hard, or I'm having a hard season, or I'm having some questions or doubts about the future. Everything feels like it's slipping out of my hands and it's fleeting. And we invite people into that, and maybe we laugh over a board game, or maybe we have some really good food, or maybe we have sweet talks around a campfire, and we're able to settle with people and find joy in their presence and in our community. So this is why we play games at youth group. The secret is out. We don't only play games so that I can beat kids at ping pong, or so that my sister and I, who are twins, can show off our twin telepathy and be really good at catchphrase. That's not the only reason that we play games. We play games because it breaks down these barriers that we can build up and walk into a space with tension of saying, my life is really hard right now, or I just got in a fight with my mom before I came to youth group, or I don't really know these people and it's awkward and I'm uncomfortable. All of those things seem to melt away when we can play some crazy games and laugh and grow some relationships and experiences together. So that's why we play games. So my question to you guys is, how are you entering into new relationships with people? How are you breaking down those barriers? How are you experiencing joy and pursuing life-giving conversations with new people? If you're not, one idea might be hosting some kind of game night. Maybe you host a really great meal and you invite your neighbors over, your family over, and you say, we're going to play a game, we're going to laugh, we're going to tell some jokes, and we're going to break down some of those walls that we built up in relationships, and we're going to find joy and experience God in those relationships and in our fun. So if you guys paid really good attention at the beginning of this message, when we listed off all of our values, you might have noticed that I sprinkled all of those through all of the things that we just talked about. And that's why fun matters, because fun touches absolutely everything. When we have fun, we see and create space to experience beauty or notice the beauty around us. We are taking care of our mental and physical and spiritual health when we have fun. We can do it on purpose in a way that invites other people into it or pursues some of our passions or goals that God has given us. And when we have fun, often we do it with people that we love, or we pursue things that we love, or we experience God's love within our joy or within our fun. So I'm doing this discipleship program right now called Faith Walking, which I would highly recommend. And in this program, we have these things set up called spiritual workouts. It's very similar to spiritual disciplines, but for me, discipline sounds like hard and heavy and like got to like follow the lines and check all the boxes. And the idea of a workout sounds more flexible to me, but it also reminds me that, hey, this might get hard to like continue to do your spiritual workout, to continue to make space to do the thing that God is inviting you into. It might be hard, it might take some commitment, but just like when we physically work out, we're pursuing some kind of health, right? We're pursuing some kind of life or goodness. And so as we are doing this discipleship program, we're challenged to think through our spiritual workouts, and we're challenged to think about how are we experiencing life or how are we experiencing God through these things. So sometimes we think of spiritual disciplines and we think, I have to get up at 5 a.m. and read my Bible and spend 3 hours in prayer before I even start my day. If that is what God is inviting you into, then awesome. You should do that, and we'll cheer you on in that. For me, when I think of spiritual workouts or spiritual disciplines, I think that I just have to start doing everything, and I go into this overdrive mode of studying a lot and reading a lot and doing all of these things. So this program has challenged me to think about, where is it that you want to see growth in your life, and what is it that you're willing to try in order to get there? And so maybe for you today, you're thinking, I don't remember the last time I had fun. I don't remember the last time that I laughed until my stomach hurt. I don't remember the last time that I sat around a table and had a really life-giving conversation or played a game that filled up my cup so that I could go into work the next day. If you're thinking any of those things, then I would ask you the same question. What are you willing to try in order to create more space for fun or some kind of spiritual workout or discipline in your life that helps you to be present or experience joy or have some fun in ways that God will be worshiped and present with you through that? So as we talk about spiritual workouts or disciplines, the phrase that they often use is, just try it on. Because like I said, I feel like I have to do everything. And so as I was thinking through this phrase, just try it on, I kind of had this vision in my head. All you ladies out there, if you've ever bought a prom dress or a wedding dress or even like gone shopping for a big event, gentlemen, maybe you too, you've like had to get dressed up for something special and you feel that pressure of like, oh my gosh, is this the right choice? I'm about to spend a lot of money on this outfit. I'm about to go see all these people. And you kind of feel this pressure of like, is this the right choice? Is this the right thing that I'm trying on or purchasing? So I had that idea of spiritual discipline, right? Of like, how can I add fun into my life? That I already have such a full schedule. I can't fit anything in. Is this the right thing that God is inviting me into? All of these questions. So I had this vision of this like stressful experience picking out a prom dress. And then it swung over to this other vision in my head of when my cousins and I would play dress up when we were kids. And we'd put on these different outfits and we'd dance and we'd sing and we would make up songs. And I feel like that's more the invitation that God has for us today. That when we look at our values and we think, is that something I actually care about? When we look at the way that we're chasing our values and we look at the way that we add fun into our life, instead of this stressful experience, try this fun experience of like, I'm just going to try that on. I'm going to dance around a little bit. Maybe I'll sing. Maybe I'll do some fun things with people that I love. And I'm going to try it on and walk it out and see if that's some way that God wants to breathe some life into the life that I'm living right now. So I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe the idea of going on a hike sounds horrible and that would not be fun for you. My challenge for you guys today is to go home and think about, where are you having fun? Where might you need more fun? Maybe it's just at the lunchroom at your place of work. Or maybe it's with your family. You need to like pack the car up with all your family and go have a picnic or something. My invitation for you is to spend some time today asking God, hey, God, what are my values? And see what he stirs up. And then ask God, how am I doing with fun? How am I receiving that? And how is that breathing life into the life that I'm living right now? So will you guys stand up with me? We're going to go into some time of prayer and worship. So here at the Cloquet Vineyard, one thing that we find really important where we experience all of these values is through prayer and also some singing time. So if you guys have anything in your life that you would like some prayer about, whether that be something that we talked about today, something about fun or your values, or literally anything else going on with your life, we would love to stand with you and pray with you and hear from Jesus on that today. But there are a couple of specific invitations that I feel like God has for us in ministry time. One of those is this idea of this childlike fun or this childlike faith, where you're just present and you're free and you're experiencing all this goodness. If you feel like you don't feel present or you don't feel free or you don't feel like joy comes very easily to you, I think that God just wants to help us actually experience that, even like here and now this morning. And so if you want to come down, we'd love to pray with you and just ask God to show up in that way. Another way that I feel like God wants to speak to us this morning is just in your values. If you're like, I don't really even know what I care about, or I don't know what I'm pursuing in my life, or you feel like you're kind of just wandering around without much direction or goal, I feel like Jesus might want to speak some vision or just call out some values or things that you care about. So we would love to just listen to God and pray with you for that as well. Like I said, any other thing, though, we would happily pray with you about. So I'm going to pray to close this out, and then if you want to come down and get some prayer, you can as well. If you guys would pray with me, I'd love that. So God, I just ask that your presence become so, so known to us right now. That you would meet each and every one of us exactly where we're at. And God, whether we walked in here today with just that heaviness or that stress or anxiety, the gloominess of the world, would you meet us in that? Or if we showed up here after an amazing weekend and we're feeling full, we're feeling fun, would you celebrate us in that as well? And as we walk through our week and walk through this series, would you just stir up values and passions and gifts that you've given each of us? Would we have fun? Would we feel full? Would we experience joy? And would we see you all over it? We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for this space and all of the people that fill it. Amen. All right, we're going to worship. Thanks so much for coming to Cloquet Vineyard this morning.